passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
And we welcome you back. We're live in Atlanta here as the second hour of the program begins. And talk about Hall of Famers. We are in for a treat. We got Roman Harper, who just literally went into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame, and Champ Bailey, who's in pretty much every Hall of Fame that's ever been made. Great to see you, Champ.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
We got two of the best at the position from the two schools that are playing. This could get out of hand.
Champ was a much better player than me on all levels. I will happily say that. But hey, I probably got more Super Bowl rings than him. So
That's a fact. That is a fact. I'll give him that.
It started quickly, hasn't it? And he's also got his chair higher, so he makes us look like little people.
You know, at this point, I got to give him all he can get right now. I got to give him all he can get.
Well, Champ, let's start with you because you're being honored tonight, and congratulations. I know you are being honored.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. There's so many people.
Surprise.
I tell you what, you are now.
Thank you. I'm just here to see you, Paul.
You're being honored to be on the Paul Feinbaum Show, which is the only Hall of Fame you have not been in. So congratulations. That's great. Let's talk about just your observations because you've played at such a great level. You were such an outstanding player. Just your thoughts on where Georgia is right now. Is they're trying to knock down something that's never happened before?
Well, you know, you got to give Kirby a lot of credit for changing the culture, first and foremost. I think, you know, in order to win, you got to have everybody believing you can win. But, you know, what we're doing shouldn't be so much of a surprise, right? I mean, we do have one of the top recruiting classes year in, year out. I mean, we have one of the better coaching staffs year in, year out. So winning should be expected. Now, the winning, the way we've been doing it and how dominant we've been is what's surprising people. And I think that's a credit to the consistency and the culture he's built. Look, man, the sky's the limit with where we can go from here. But we've already done things that people haven't seen before. And it's fortunate enough for us that we're on a trajectory to keep doing great things. Let's just take it one game at a time, right? Starting with Bama this week.
You buying all that?
I am kind of buying all that. It makes a lot of sense. And they have recruited well. And the thing that I appreciate or I think I like about Georgia the most is that they don't have slip-ups. That's the real proof when you have grown the program to where you are. There is no down week. You take everybody the same. That's the one credit where Nick Saban has gotten Alabama is since the first year, that one bad loss, they don't have slip-ups. And so when you beat the teams you're supposed to beat and you beat them handedly the way you're supposed to beat them, that's when you get the true respect. That's what Kirby and Georgia has been able to do. That is this run that they're on, this epic all-time run, because now they have tied it and they're probably looking forward to trying to break it. The most consecutive wins in the SEC. It'll be outstanding, and Georgia deserves all the credit. Kirby, what he's been able to do when they were so good under Mark Richt, he was able to say, no, we got another level to go to when he took them there.
Yeah.
You grew up right outside of Montgomery, Alabama, a couple years behind Champ. Was he one of those guys that you looked at?
I was. I was a big Champ Bailey
fan. By the way, that was a loaded question.
not only Champ, but I liked his brother as well. Boss.
Yeah.
Was a baller. Because he really stood out to me because he would always jump really high and blocking those field goals when you could go and run and jump like that. And so
he's a Boss fan.
I'm a Boss fan.
I am too.
I was a big Boss Bailey fan. Champ was really good. Champ, the one thing I loved about Champ's game was anytime you get a great defensive back, they're able to do things that everybody else can't do. Deion Sanders was the first cornerback to be, you know, had his legs straddled like a wide receiver in front of another guy to press him. Nobody else could do that because he was so much faster and had different ability. Champ had a sideways back pedal that nobody else could do that he played with in Denver, where he was sideways playing against receivers. Nobody else could do that as well. So
I forget some of the things I've done, man. Hey, I forget about it.
I don't know if we can do this. Any chance we can put it? Let me know when this is ready. I want to ask these two outstanding all-pro DBs to tell me what was happening on the final play of the Alabama-Auburn game the other day, because I was watching I was watching the defensive back, and I was still trying to figure this thing out. And I want you guys to – here it is. Guys, watch this. Roman, tell us what was going on here.
Well, I already know what went on. The bottom line is I think Jalen Merle did a good job of scanning the field, finding the one-on-one matchup. He found it to the left. At the end of the day, the Auburn defensive back has to play the ball. He's only playing the receiver. The ball travels 30-something yards in the air. The ball
– So you have plenty of time, am I right?
That time.
Plenty
just,
of time. So
what, just play the ball.
Champ Bailey, as we watch this play, what would you have done?
Which it takes
other
me
than
to
intercept
my point,
it.
Get to the quarterback. For me, they have to score a touchdown right here, right?
Right. Yes.
That's the only way. Get to the quarterback. The quarterback.
Yeah, they're down by four.
Like, you don't give them a chance if you get to the quarterback. Now he has a takeoff run. He can't get the ball even close to being a perfection.
Okay, so they okay, so you're a DB. You clearly your DC clearly screwed up, but you have a chance to save the day. Now, for what would you what's the best thing to do there?
Well,
I mean,
like Roman
assault
said,
the guy, isn't it?
The best thing to do is to play the ball, but in order to get the ball out faster, get to the quarterback. Okay. I love D linemen, and that's the best thing that they're good for. Get to the quarterback.
So everybody says that, and they've been saying that all week. But you also got to understand, Auburn had played. They ran the same defense the play before, and it worked. And yeah, they'd run that same style of defense where I'm rushing three, rushing four with a spy all game long in other third down situations, and it had worked. That was their flavor of the week all game, and it was working. And so I care less about that. It's more about the execution. Yeah. And the defensive back, you have to play the ball. Yeah.
So,
you can't
okay,
just
so,
play
so
the wide receiver.
Help me understand. You're behind. The ball's coming down.
And Paul, so it's like this.
Okay.
I'm covering you the same way the defensive defender was on Isaiah Bond. He's playing him like this. What you need to do is just turn here and just play the ball.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. It's
well,
that simple.
Just look at the ball the whole time.
Yes.
Look at the quarterback.
That's it.
You have time.
This is really
the
cool. Talking
travel,
to two of the best.
You got time.
You have time.
And I'm not trying to embarrass
it's
anybody.
It's
here.
This way. It's,
to,
everybody, look at this. I'm playing you like the same way Isaiah Bond.
Okay.
All you have to do, instead of playing him this way, just go here.
Yeah.
That's it. That's literally it.
Yeah. He should have never been looking at him.
I agree.
It's your right hand.
That's it.
That's it.
Stick
your hand
out.
You should actually go with
there.
The long arm. If you go here, it's not as long as that one. You should go with the long arm.
Oh.
That's a defensive.
They only rushed three. They should have
They really
didn't.
They really only rushed two, didn't they?
Yes.
The other guy was just standing there
so
checking his. That other guy was the spy was checking his phone. I swear.
Oh my God.
he bought a gift on Amazon for Christmas while that play was developing.
Well, it's funny because on the 3rd and 20 that that Milroe almost got earlier. He got 19. They had a spy there too, and he just ran right by him. So the spy was kind of ineffective.
He might have been a spy for
Alabama. Yeah, get to the quarterback. That solves all problems.
I agree. I come from a rush four in that situation because these are all situational footballs. Everybody grows up with different ones, and I come from a rush four, and then you play everything back. At the bottom line is the DB has to make the play.
Absolutely.
This was fun to talk to two guys that actually know what they're talking about versus the guys in the broadcast booth.
You know, I appreciate it. Can I just say this one thing, Paul? I got your show. I got your platform.
Hey, you got all the time
Champ,
in the world.
I appreciate
floor,
that.
You've told me today you need some time.
I need some time. I got to get this off my chest.
Disregard whatever say in your ear. Oh, you don't have
I don't even have ears, so I don't even care.
I will disregard whatever they tell me in my
thank
ear.
Thank you. Champ.
The floor is yours.
Thank you. Champ, put your seatbelt on. All right, guys, my biggest thing is this. I'm a man of the people. I hang out. I'm here. I'm a man of the people. Champ's probably a man of the people as well. I want the CFP and the committee to stop lying to people. I want them to stop saying that they pick the four best teams. They pick the four most deserving teams, and they've been consistent with that. And the other problem I have is because when we tell everybody these are the four best, that's when all the debate starts. Just say you're going to pick the four most deserving because that is what they've shown to do, and that's what they're doing right now. And then on top of that, the committee itself, we think it gets better by being more diverse. We bring in different eyes on a year-to-year basis. We have different committee leaders, different other things. You know what you get with different rotating doors? You get different biases inside the room year in and year out. It's not consistent. And so when it goes from, okay, who has the best loss to this year, well, who has the best win? Or who are we propping up this year because this team is supposed to be good because they're telling us this when they're really not that good, Penn State. And so these are the things that I disagree with, and I wish they would stop lying to the people and saying that they picked the four best teams when they picked the four most deserving teams. And that's okay. Pick it. right? We're cool with that, but don't tell us it's one thing when it's another. And the last thing is this. We continue to talk about all this chaos, all these other things. You know what? Alabama ain't won yet. So until Alabama wins, the conversation doesn't need to be had. Georgia deserves that right, and they have earned that right to be put at number one. They deserve it, and we need to stop all this other talk until Georgia loses. So we can continue to talk and all these other things. The committee is who they are. And I'm tired of people acting like they're not that pain. All right, I'm done, Paul.
I'm gonna sound like a dog fan, man. I'm gonna diagram what you said.
I will not pick against Georgia until they prove me wrong. I've said that right. for two years.
You know what I like that you said that I admire?
What's that?
You said lying, because that's what they're doing. They're you know, they're not misleading.
No.
They're not doing anything other than just flat out lying.
Yeah. They're telling us it's one thing and it's not. And they continue to say this. The same way with the Heisman, when they say we picked the best player in college football.
I think they ought to just vote today and put Alabama and Georgia both in.
Why not?
Well, if you look.
I want to see the game tomorrow, and I want to see it in Houston.
If you keep going down.
The national championship. I think both of you agree.
It could happen.
Who would you pick? And that's how you figure out the best team. Who would you pick? Alabama, Oregon. Who's going to win that game? All right. Georgia or Oregon? Who's going to win that game? Georgia or Washington?
By the way, Vegas likes Oregon on a similar level. I mean, Oregon is the third favorite team among Vegas. Alabama would probably be fourth.
Yeah, I'm cool
Florida
with that.
State would be like the 29th team.
Right. At this point.
I'd like to see.
But Florida State
is more
deserving.
I'd like to see Florida State go to Columbia, Missouri in November.
I'm with you. But
Florida State still have their hands full, too.
Florida State is deserving, though. They've been undefeated in the Power 5 conference, and you win two games without your star quarterback. That means you did something great, the same way Ohio State did when Cardell Jones stepped in at quarterback in 2015.
Just for the record, they've been telling me to cut this off for 5 minutes.
I got to tell the people, Paul, what they need to hear. I'm tired of it.
Commissioner's coming up. You got to go.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Champ Bailey.
Who has less
Father
Bowl
Roman
rings than
Harper
me.
Joining us right here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we're back. We're live in Atlanta. The commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, will join us here in just a couple of minutes. Let's head out to the Big 12 game. Molly McGrath joining us. Molly, it's always great to see you. It's been too long. I know you're talking to the coaches, trying to figure this thing out. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Good to see you. I've missed you. And that was a great conversation that you had with Seth Golden. And I think that Steve Sarkisian would agree with a lot of that, you know, speaking about the college football playoff. And I know Roman Harper was very passionate about it as well, about the best four teams versus the best four most deserving teams getting into the playoff. And in speaking with Steve Sarkisian this week, it was really unique because you talk to coaches all the time, Paul, and they say, we're not talking about that. We don't look ahead to the playoff. We take it game by game. Well, Sark was honest. He said, you know, I watched the ranking show in its totality. I'm a fan of college football. I discussed the playoff with my team. We've talked about it in the locker room. And we know that if we win this Big 12 championship game, we have a really good chance to make it into the playoff. And I think he's a little bit frustrated with the fact that all of these undefeated teams are ahead of the one-loss teams. And he truly thinks that they have the best quality win of the season, that week two win over Alabama. He thinks that should put them ahead of some of the other teams that may make the playoffs. So he had some really strong things to say. You know, he said, we lost a rivalry game in the final minutes. Why does one play determine whether or not we are the most deserving team to get in it? Like, we should be one of the best teams, one of the best four teams. And they say it's the best four teams, but it really is who is the most deserving to get into the playoffs. So I think a lot of coaches, a lot of people like Roman Harper too, are frustrated with this entire process. This is the last year that people will have this kind of frustration because there will be an expanded playoff next year. But Steve Sarkisian was really outspoken about the fact that he believes his team is a playoff quality team because of that win over Alabama week two.
Yeah, Molly, it just seems like it just shows you how things have changed when you beat Alabama double digits in Tuscaloosa, and it doesn't seem like you're getting any credit. And it's not like Alabama has lost since then either. I understand his frustration.
Yeah, and he also said, you know, this is going to make other teams not want to schedule those difficult non-conference games, because especially when you play a team like Alabama week two, it takes a toll on your team. It breaks down the bodies of your players. That was a physical battle in that game. And then there are other teams who have maybe some more like kind of cupcake games, and they're able to play some of the younger players earlier on. They're able to develop some of the younger players early on in the season. So a really difficult game like that can affect an entire season. That should not be discounted in the eyes of the committee.
Molly, many thanks. We really appreciate it. Even though we're going to be on at the same time, I can assure you, based on last year, we will be watching your game from the set here in Atlanta.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Can't wait to see you soon at the championship. And this is the Michigan schedule. Man, talk about the Wolverines getting off to a – while Alabama's playing Texas, Michigan's playing East Carolina, UNLV, and Bowling Green. Adam Rittenberg covering the Big Ten championship for ESPN. Adam, great to see you. This is clearly a mismatch. The controversy about Harbaugh for today seems to be over. Give us the backstory on what folks are saying and watching for, getting ready for tomorrow night.
Hey, great to see you as well, Paul. Obviously, Jim Harbaugh is going to be here at Lucas Oil Stadium shortly. We'll be on the field with his team on the sideline for the first time since November 4th. Blake Corum, their star running back, said it'll feel like a reunion having Harbaugh back, his presence, his pregame speeches. He's obviously been around the team a lot with practices and game planning and even the night before games making some memorable speeches to his team, but he hasn't been with them on game day, and I think that has a real positive effect, especially for a guy like J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback who played very well last week against Ohio State, getting healthy from his leg injury. But just to have Harbaugh there, they have a very special relationship, and that certainly plays out on game day. So Michigan got through it. They went 3-0 during that Big Ten imposed suspension, and now they're set up to possibly win their third consecutive outright league title for the first time in team history. It would set up a bit of an awkward exchange, Paul, between Tony Petitti, the commissioner, and Jim Harbaugh on the podium behind me tomorrow night.
Yeah, I really look forward to that. Before you go, Adam, and I realize there are bigger fish to fry, as we say down south, but everywhere I look in here, I hear insiders saying Harbaugh's maybe going to Chicago, maybe going to Carolina. He's addressed a lot of things. He hasn't said very much about anything other than quoting Ted Lasso. Has he mentioned the NFL rumors?
He hasn't directly, Paul, but all you have to do is realize he's interviewed with two NFL teams in each of the last two off seasons. Clearly wants to go back to the NFL if an opportunity presents itself, but Michigan is going to try to keep him, I'm told, still working on a contract offer that was very close to happening before the sign-stealing scandal broke in October. So Michigan and their president on down, Santa Ono, can't find a bigger Harbaugh fan on campus than Santa Ono. He wants to keep Harbaugh one place, but you look at the jobs that are open, whether it's Vegas and Carolina right now, potentially Chicago, the Chargers, these are all places that could use a coach who's won in the NFL, and Jim Harbaugh has done that. So even though he hasn't been successful the last two off seasons, certainly a name to watch in the NFL coaching carousel.
Adam Rittenberg live at the Big Ten Championship. We appreciate it, Adam. We're coming up here in Atlanta with our featured interview of the day. The commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, Greg Sankey, joins us straight ahead.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
And we are back and really excited to be in Atlanta as we work our way through one of our, maybe it's our, it is our favorite Friday of the year when we finally get to the championship game. We get to see the commissioner. I just mentioned I've looked over my shoulder a couple of times for your dad. It's always one of the highlights to see your mom and dad here, and I know they're not here this week.
Yeah, no, we saw them earlier. We went up to Syracuse to watch LSU play in the ACC Challenge against the Orange, and my parents came with me there, so I can guarantee you they're sitting there watching, thrilled that you've mentioned that, Paul.
They have to be proud because I understand you just didn't leave your house and fly up there. You literally walked out of the White House to go up there. Yeah. I like the sound of that.
The funny part, for me, the meaningful part was, we had a meeting at the White House Tuesday afternoon, hopped in a car, flew up there. And then I had been in that facility when it was first opened, known as the Carrier Dome. Now it's the JMA Wireless Dome. Dozens, if not hundreds of times, its first 15 years. I had not been back in 20 years. I told my dad the next time an SEC team played in Syracuse that we'd go. So this was it. Horrible snowstorm reminded me of why I've lived in the South since the late 80s. Tough night for Matt and his team, but they'll get better. And fun to relive memories, just to be a part of that.
Got a pretty good connection to that school.
It does. I'm not choked up because of the emotion. I'm just choked up because I've been on the road too much.
But, you've got a degree from there. It's close to where you grew up. By the way, it kind of snuck up on us, but the ACC, SEC Channel Challenge was pretty exciting.
Yeah, we went 7-7, so it was the ultimate tie game in both the men's and the women's. We had won 6 in the men's, and we were down, or either lost or down in 8. And Mike White's team at Georgia and Tallahassee came back. And I got a text as we were driving that showed up on my screen in a safe way, and we'd gone 7-7, and then our women rallied. Great to compete with our colleagues, and as I was trying to say, I do. My master's degree is from Syracuse. I had driven through snowstorms to go to grad school there when I lived in Utica early on. Go back to a game there, it was a lot of fun. And the next night I was in Auburn, and the small thing for me, if you have any knowledge of Central New York, Syracuse to Auburn is about 30 miles.
Yeah.
And I went Syracuse to Auburn through Hartsfield International Airport, and it was Auburn, Alabama, to watch the Tigers beat Virginia Tech.
Well, I know your dad's watching. I joked with him last year. He said, I watch the show all the time. I said, that makes me very nervous.
I give reports. So my wife reports on Gary Danielson on Saturdays. Oh,
that's a workout.
You're not going to like what Gary. Yeah. And my dad will tell me, well, why is Paul mad at you? I'm like, I don't know. So, yeah, it's actually true.
Well, for the record, I'm not. But let's get to the issue of the day, and it's you've been asked this everywhere you go, whether you're on national programs or walking to the through the hotel, is what's the deal with the CFP?
We've got four teams this year. So the four best teams will be selected on Sunday. I you would expect me to say, as the SEC commissioner on the SEC network, that clearly an SEC team will be a part of those four. And I think big picture, the selection committee has a responsibility. They don't look at just 1 week. It's the full body of work. We have two teams with an additional game. By the way, the highest level game that's being played. And the game that when you look at the percentages from all of these analytics is predicted to be the closest from a competitive standpoint. I think that's an indication of both teams' merit full consideration. And depending on who wins could create a level of chaos or perhaps it could be somewhat straightforward. But that's why we play the games. I think the intensity and the interest around what happens in Atlanta is a reflection of who we are. It's a reflection of 1 versus 8. We've had 1-2. We've had 1-3. I don't know if we've had 1-8. We were 1 in double digits last year. This one has that. It just means more feel, and it's going to lead to an opportunity. You look at our postseason success in the CFP. I think we've lost, what, 3 total games in 9 years, a semifinal game in 14, 2 to Clemson. The only other time SEC teams have lost in the entire college football playoff is to each other.
Yeah.
And what that indicates is through the regular season, there's something different here from a competitive level standpoint, and that will be honored when the selection comes.
And Commissioner, I know you won't say it, but I'm going to. If the commissioners of several other leagues had not thrown up a roadblock to a path that had already been agreed upon, we would be in a 12-team playoff today, would we not?
Yeah, we could have been. You know, we had to work through logistical issues, but we just never got to that.
Yeah.
When it was introduced, the concept was developed in 20. It was announced in 21 because in the middle of COVID, you didn't want to be presenting major issues while you're just trying to play a season of football. So that delayed us a year. And then when it was introduced in 21, you know, we were poised at the end of that summer to come back from a feedback loop and move forward and then discover or then approve for 26 and beyond and then figure out how far back you could work. It didn't move. It didn't move until the next fall, last November. And that took away a lot of the consideration to go in the 23 season. But again, I still look at these two teams and think that they're going to be in the top four, depending on what happens, 1, potentially 2. I do look at Missouri that's made tremendous progress, and you've spoken with our coaches. I've had coaches tell me, without solicitation from me, how good Missouri is. And I think that opens up, in the future, the opportunities that a 12-team playoff is meant to create. And Ole Miss is right there on that selection line if we were in that 12-team playoff, which I think would be incredibly compelling football.
We're so used to things in political circles, which you just came back from and are immersed in them every day, of lobbying and calling in. But as the commissioner of the most powerful league in college football, with all the tentacles and all the people that you deal with, is there anything you can really do in terms of that committee?
We can talk about it, but the committee's in the room. Yeah. There's this impression that somebody's pulling levers from the outside. I think I have a responsibility to talk about our reality, about expectations. The committee is constantly reminded of their role. It's not that the committee has a different set of guidelines every year. There's a consistent set of guidelines about the criteria to be evaluated. That's the trust that's conveyed. That's to be followed. And I think that speaks to why I have a level of confidence that we'll be represented. But, you know, whether it's the basketball committee on the men's or the women's side baseball, they're in a room. They're going to pay attention to what happens, but they're not paying attention to the noise, if you will.
The subtext of this week has been often deserving versus the best, and it's something that cynics of college athletics look at administrators and go, well, they want to encompass everyone. I've followed people on television this week where they say, well, if you win the ACC, you're undefeated Power Five, you have to be in. And I'm like going, why? I know that's not your job, but you're in the middle of all this.
I was not a commissioner at the time of formation. There were five of these power conferences, as they're colloquially known. Everybody knew that there would be a team not in from the five. And, you know, that we can debate the language. The expectation is you have the four best teams, four that deserve that, four that will compete at that national championship level. I look back and I evaluate the committee's performance. I disagree with maybe two or three over time of the placements. We want the strongest possible teams competing for the national championship. That conveys a national championship. And that means if you had one from each of the conferences that were in that top five, somebody is left out. That was known and understood. Should it be that way? That's what it is, and the committee has that responsibility. And that just brings you back to talking about who's won games against ranked teams, who's played games against ranked teams, what's the rigor of the schedule. It's not about one weekend. It's about the full scope of work. It's about who you line up against with week after week and how do you perform.
The commissioner of the Southeastern Conference joining us. We're going to take a very short break. Well, it's actually the same as it always is, but we're going to try to act like it's short because we want to talk to the commissioner about a number of other things when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We're back with the commissioner. Before we get to a couple of other I buried the lead, something I shouldn't do as a former newspaper person. You left the White House. Can you tell us what's going on there?
Yeah. The four commissioners traveled up to Washington, D.C. Monday. We had the opportunity to visit with a variety of Senate and House members, key people in leadership, had a visit with some White House policy advisors, had an interview with Manu Raju that I think is part of Sunday's program. Yep. Cool. And really just continuing to inform and educate about some of the dynamics in college athletics, try to pursue something that works better than the current atmosphere.
Yeah, no, and there's so much, there is a lot of doom and gloom about where we are right now in intercollegiate athletics. I know that that's not something that you participate in because you're a forward-thinking leader, but where are we? What moment in time are we knocking on the door at?
We're at a time of change, and change is difficult. I would use a bit of a metaphor that we're losing sight of land. So the comfort and the way things have always been done, whether it's litigation that's compelled change and continues to seek further change that I think could be candidly destructive for our athletic programs, whether it's state legislation that rather than try to have work to have uniform standards, which has been a common practice in college athletics, leading to the college football playoff, leading to Final Fours, leading to College World Series, so that we can cross state lines and compete and know when two teams from different states look at each other from the line of scrimmage, they have the same policies and regulations that are applicable. So we've moved that to this state-by-state circumstance. That's not the way to conduct college athletics. Just because we're frustrated with the circumstance doesn't mean we want to take opportunities away. And it also doesn't mean that the status quo is acceptable. Our student athletes ask us. So this is not the late 50s conference commissioner. This is young people currently living that life. They want uniformity and clarity around the standards that apply. They want to know that their opponents are held to the same standards that they are held to. They want to know that a young person considering 10 or 12 universities during the recruiting process is looking at the right issues and doesn't have to learn 10 or 12 different state laws or university policies. I think all of that's completely fair. We're asked in those meetings about the medical care we provide. We provide concierge-level medical care to student-athletes, the same with mental wellness care, nutritional support that's beyond belief. In fact, you start to become concerned that these experiences are so good when you launch into the next phase of life, you have to be prepared for that as well, and even that's part of the conversation. So there's an education about that, but also an emphasis of the need and a level of urgency for that national standard to be present through congressional action.
Commissioner, I've always thought, as we look to tomorrow and beyond, one of the most poignant moments of an Olympics is when they hand off to the next city 4 years down the road. We're going to be seeing something maybe not quite as poignant tomorrow from one network to another, but tomorrow is the last game on CBS before ESPN ABC takes over. First CBS, and then I'd like to look ahead to what's
It's 26 years. We went back to, you know, the first game broadcast. You remember the first CBS broadcast under this relationship was Florida at Tennessee. Peyton Manning, Danny Werfel, Philip Fulmer, Steve Spurrier. A close catch, no catch at the goal line.
Yeah.
And that would be subject to video review now, right? and perhaps if you go back to that time and then you come forward to last week, the bookends of games, how just magnificent the Southeastern Conference games are, that Florida-Tennessee game, that Iron Bowl game, the passion, the presentation. And we had a chance last night at dinner to honor the relationship on both sides. We all have to make business decisions. They made business decisions, whether I like them or not. We made business decisions, and we're going to have a new home. We're going to have more broadcast TV with ABC next year. That's something in this environment we need. I learn on my Twitter account, every time I tweet a picture of me and Vern Lundquist, I get more interest and likes than anything else. So we had Vern and Nancy last night, in addition to Brad and Gary, Jenny, who's on the crew now, remembered everybody that's been a part of it, toasted a few times and presented some mementos. They're going to do a special open, so watch the open tomorrow. I haven't seen it, but it'll be about the legacy of CBS and the SEC and pretty special. And then we're going to turn the page and look to our future. 16 members, new broadcast platforms, and that's going to just continue to build this great league.
I know you alluded to it yesterday, but for those who have not seen your comments, and I'll include myself, I'm curious what it's going to look like next year when it's...
From a broadcast standpoint, there is a misunderstanding, and I thought I was clear. So we will have a 3:30 p.m. Eastern game each Saturday, just as we do now.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's going to be a 3:30 p.m. Eastern game. The big game of the day could be at 3:30, and sometimes we have three big games in a day. We could have a broadcast game at noon Eastern, one at 3:30, and one in prime time. That's not predicting, that's assurance, but that's more access for people to watch our games. Our best game, you know, once a year CBS can air that primetime game. Our best game might be the primetime game in any number of weeks.
And unlike now, everybody's in control. Between the coordination between the SEC and
rather than negotiating between two networks, and so that allows us. We've already had meetings about next year's schedule placement. December 13th, we have a network show to talk about our schedule release that unfortunately got leaked a little bit. I'm not sure how, but I want to find out because we want to protect
it. Point of commission to look into that.
Yeah, we do. So we've been working with our TV partners about placement of games. When we get to media days, that's a pretty good target. We'll know the kickoff times for all of our noon games next season, all the way through. So we'll say, these games will be at noon Eastern, make your plans accordingly. And then we'll have about 50%, maybe 60% of the total kickoff times known by midsummer. Some of those could flex between afternoon and prime time, but it's not like that 12-day and 6-day hold that we have for everything right now. And so what it allows is our fans to make plans. And part of the hard discussion for us and hard consideration was ABC and ESPN allow us that flexibility, that early kickoff determination, and was one of several factors that prompted the move.
Yeah, and I think fans don't quite understand how important they do. Fans do understand. Maybe some of us don't. If you're making plans to go somewhere, what time the game starts?
Oh, absolutely.
As opposed to the week before.
I was at a game 8:15 tip central in Auburn on Wednesday night, and it's a late long ride back to Atlanta afterwards. And that'll happen sometimes, but the more advanced planning we can help share, the better off our fans are going to be in attending games, which is what we want.
Well, we will have many more conversations, hopefully, about this in the future. It is an exciting time, and I think, being on this side, I mean, the epic matchups on CBS have been etched into our mind forever, Congratulations to them, but I for one, I'm really excited about what happens next.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And, you know, you think about Nation and the work you do, the ability to sync that up around some kickoff times, games that are promoted leading into that new platform. There are a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of talk, you know, the F1 race is in Austin, Texas. What was announced was a coincidental date that people have. But you think about the cross-promotion, since ESPN has those broadcast rights, just opportunities to have really special things happen.
Thank you, Commissioner. It's always great to see you.
Good to be here. Looking forward to tomorrow.
We'll take a short break. 2 more hours to go.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.